Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello, and welcome to episode 70 for Refirement Life. We're excited today to talk to Lori Zelko. This is all about thriving with travel and enriching your life through all you can learn with experiences around the world. Lori is a good friend of mine. We met through an organization called the Modern Elder Academy, which gives a lot of like wonderful guidance to how to live your best life in midlife. And Lori is a great example of someone who's really dived in to reinvent herself and build a very successful life. Lori had been already a successful person at SAP as an executive. She left corporate America to build her own business. It's called Wonderwell Travel. Lori's here with us today to talk about that transition, talk about what we can learn from traveling around the world and just paving your own way. So I'm here with Lori Zelko. Welcome. And I'm also here with Muge, my wonderful co-host. Hello, Muge. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Lori. Welcome. I am just so excited about this topic right now. All I can think about is where I am going to go. So it's really I think a treat, Lori. Thank you for joining us to talk about one, the transition, because that's a really difficult thing to do from one track to another. Just picking up on the trend of more women traveling solo in groups and the richness of that experience. So just really looking forward to it. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk about it.
Good. Well, let's start at the moment of transition. So you decide to leave corporate America behind. I know that was really a hard decision. Maybe not. A lot of us have done it. But tell us about like what really sparked that leap for you.
Yeah. I've always loved travel. And I think I would have been a travel agent from the start, except there was really no money in it. And so I was looking for something that would help me to build a life and, support my family and so forth. And so I went into the business world and did that for most of my career. And this travel was always in the back of my mind. I was always planning trips for my family and friends and so forth. And one of my favorite things always as a hobby was to just research travel and destinations and all the places I could go. Fortunately, in my corporate career with SAP, I had the opportunity to actually travel to a lot of those places and did a lot of organizational planning, attending and planning executive events around the world. And so that gave me kind of the operational background to, to do what I'm doing today. And the exposure to some of these destinations. So anyway, always interested in travel. And then, I was getting to the point where I was thinking about retiring. What am I going to do next? And maybe 15 years before I actually made the move, I did some introspection and some work around, what is the intersection of my passion, skills, and interests and so forth. And decided that when I leave corporate, I am going to do something in the travel industry. I don't know what. It could just be me traveling or it could be something more. And then along the way, I was on a business trip in Singapore by myself and kind of going around and seeing the sights in my free time. I had a friend that had just gotten divorced and was sort of coming out of the back end of the drama of the divorce. And I thought, she should take a trip. It would kind of change, be a reset and change her mindset. But I knew she would never do it and she wouldn't do it alone, especially an international trip. And so I thought, you know, there's probably a lot of women that are in that same situation, especially women who haven't worked in an international company where traveling on your own is, you know, is just sort of taken for granted, right? It's automatic. And so I decided that was the direction I would go to set up these small group women's trips. And that's kind of what prompted me. Also, MEA, this Modern Elder Academy that we have in common, I think is really the thing that pushed me over, helped me with resources and the language to make the transition. That's kind of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we've talked before about, you know, thinking and aligning your passions with something you can monetize, and encouraged our listeners, those who are still working, to start doing that planning and start to like feel what draws you to certain things. And it sounds like you had that spark 15 years ago. And then because you were kind of aware of it, you started to make even more connection points. And I love the realization too. And I didn't think about this, but Muge's in a full-time role now where she travels quite a bit. I traveled quite a bit when I was with Microsoft. And it is taken for granted that you get on the plane and you're figuring it out all by yourself. And there are a lot of my peers who didn't, you know, have that experience, whether they were in, you know, jobs where they maybe didn't travel or they weren't in the workforce. So yeah, it's great. It's a great service now that you can include others in.
It is incredible, I think, because you guys are absolutely right. Business can be a big catalyst, kind of pushing you to do it because it's because of your work. And I think at different times of our lives, we can benefit from travel for different reasons. It could be maybe a growth opportunity or a renewal, a reset, and just the appreciation for the different cultures. Lori, what I am curious about is you obviously put a lot of thought into this and looked for that intersection of passion, interest, and skill. What was that journey like for you to build it, to bring it to where you are? What were some takeaways, especially for us and for our audience, who is generally always contemplating about this? And some of us are just thinking about it. Some of us are acting on it. Just would love to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I kind of had this idea 15 years ago, but I continued to work. I might have done it sooner if not for COVID. Because I was getting to this, you know, this age and sort of feeling like I better go and do this thing that I feel like I want to do, because otherwise it's going to be too late, right? If I wait and I'm older, you know, maybe I'm not as ready or capable of doing some of these things, even physically. You never know what's going to happen. And so COVID, you know, I worked through COVID in my corporate role, and afterwards, again, was thinking about, well, I'm getting close to retirement. What, you know, what's next? I had this idea to do the women's trips, and, you know, for divorced women who had lost a spouse, or otherwise empty nesters, didn't have anybody to travel with. And that's kind of a common theme among women that are 50 plus. They don't have people to travel with. Friends are still working, family members are doing their own thing. And so they want to travel, but they don't have anybody to go with. So this idea of these small group trips was, you know, seemed like a good answer to that problem. And I started to actually plan the small group women's trips before I left corporate. I probably did four or five of them with a mix of people that I knew, and then started to bring in some people. They would bring a friend along. So this was somebody that I didn't know who was being invited by another traveler. And, you know, and it just kind of went from there. So it was an incremental journey to the point where I just decided, I'm going to, you know, make this move now before it's too late. And it was really exciting. I left. I had done some work on setting up my LLC, Wonderwell Travel, before I actually left my corporate job. In fact, I had everything in place so that I retired from my corporate role, in April of 2023 and then launched Wonderworld Travel in May. And the first thing that I did was to go to Portugal for a month and travel from the south coast of Portugal to the north and map out my next trip that I would invite travelers on. And I had a small group of experimental travelers that came with me on that trip to kind of test things out and make sure that we were all enjoying what we were doing. By the way, the theme of these women's trips that I run is wellness, wine, and wonder. So there are always elements of those things, beautiful hotels with a spa environment or walking out in nature. We do some light hiking, not anything too aggressive, but nice, you know, 10,000 steps or more, walking around in beautiful and natural environments. There's usually wine or wine tastings, lunches at a vineyard. Maybe we stay at a vineyard, things along those lines. And then the wonder is just the wonderful places that we go and the amazing places that Christine, there was a conversation about this on a recent call. I forget the term that you used, where being out in nature creates this, you know, kind of sense of wellness. And so that's really, you know, a key element. So anyway.
And I love the name of your company. It's very thoughtful, you know, Wonder Well Travel. That wonder around the world, you know, what the wonders of the world, the wellness. I mean, that was very aptly named. You did a nice job on the branding.
You are really speaking to our hearts, Lori. I just love the theme of wellness, wine, and wonder, and that combination. And I love what you said, you know, a little wellness time in nature, but we are not scaling heights, nothing too onerous, you know, enough to give you joy, because that's always the thing I hear in these adventure travels. Oh, we are going to be hiking with the backpack for 8 hours and we are cycling through. I'm like, okay, that's too much. It needs to be a curated luxury experience, at least for me, for it to be relaxing, but also active. So that's incredible. And the other thing I picked up on what you're mentioning, Lori, I think as our life experience grows in the bracket generally we are in, I think two things that I see that start dominating our thoughts and filters. One is, if not now, when? And the second piece is, what brings us joy? I think we, a lot of women, probably 50 plus, reached a point of really acting on what moves them. So this is a great outlet for that.
Yeah. And it's great, too, from the standpoint of people that are going through whatever sort of emotional challenges they have. If it's a divorce, if it's a loss of a spouse, family, you know, empty nesters with the kids moving away. These are really, you know, challenging times for people. And going on a trip with a group of women to go just see the wonders of the world and have fun. And I say this, my trips to this point have not been retreats. They're not, you know, coaching sessions. They're not, therapy sessions to help people through that. This is really for people who have gotten past the drama and are looking to take the next step and do something. Yeah. And we have so much fun. Oh, God. I just came back from a trip to Morocco with a group of 8 women, and we had so much fun. I would say that half the group were married women and the other half were divorced. And we just clicked. We had the best time all over Morocco. So everybody came back like, when are we going again? Where are we going next?
That's awesome.
It really is a reset. You know, I think it just takes you away from whatever the negative is that you've been dealing with and puts you in a different place.
Yeah.
And I think for that to happen, you literally have to be in a different place. You are just not going to be able to do that taking a staycation. As great as they are, you have to change your place. Christine, go ahead, please. You were about to say something.
Yeah, I was just thinking about so it's easy for me to envision going on a trip and bringing a friend and meeting a bunch of women who are doing something similar. But you have those individuals who are traveling, maybe for the first time alone. How do you make them feel comfortable to not only go to another country, but be with a group that they might not know?
I usually am having conversations with them ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They may be members of the women's Facebook travel group that I run. And there are many of these women's travel Facebook groups out there. There are other places, but Facebook seems to be the primary, you know, location, if you will, for women to find other women who are looking to travel. So it's solo women travelers 50 plus, 60 plus, or women looking to travel. Some of them are younger women's travel groups, but mine spun off of a larger group, and I run that now. And because the people in the larger group said, hey, who lives in my area? I would like to meet people in person before I travel with them. So mm-hmm. some people want that personal introduction. We do meetups in the area for people to come together and they meet each other. And in the first meetup that I did, I think it was the fall of 2023, there were two women that met there that signed up for the Portugal trip and have become travel buddies since. They go on many trips together, and they're friends in their home community as well. They go out for dinner, and one was divorced, you know, some years ago. One was just going through or coming out of the end of a nasty divorce, and one supported the other throughout. You know, they traveled together. She helped her. One helped the other to feel comfortable traveling. Because
How awesome
is that?
Yeah.
You just cannot orchestrate this. It has to happen through an experience like that. How inspirational is that?
But in many ways, Lori is orchestrating it. I mean, that has to be so rewarding, just to think of not only are you providing this great experience, but you're enriching people's lives by building connections that open more doors for them.
Yeah, and that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the goal. But yeah. So I do also, if people express an interest in a trip, I'll set up a call with them. I talk them through. I have a short survey that I am asking questions like, are you open to sharing a room? Do you want to share a room? If you share a room, do you have any particular, you know, sensitivities? You know, are you super clean and you don't like a messy roommate? Things like that. And also mm-hmm. just the reassurance that people who go on these trips generally have a good time, like each other, et cetera. There's some women that say, I don't want to share a room. I want my own room. Mm-hmm. And others that are very open to sharing, especially because it helps offset the cost, right? Their cost is lower if they share with somebody else. And so they are open to that. And then once you share, I found this for myself. I was so accustomed to work travel where you have your own room. And it was actually when I went to MEA for one of the sessions that I said to a roommate, why not? Had the best roommate ever. I would travel anywhere with this woman. And I didn't know her beforehand. Mm. So some of the travelers on my trips have that same experience, and it works out really, really well.
It's
almost like going back to when you were a teenager or in college and you got matched with a roommate, mm-hmm. right? But you become uncomfortable with that as you get older and sort of set in your ways and used to doing things where you're not sharing a room with somebody that you don't know. So
yeah.
Anyway, there's a bit of that in it.
That's awesome.
There's a richness that comes with that. One of my really good friends and I have this tradition of going to U.S. Open to New York City once a year, and we share a room. It helps with cost and it's fun. But, you know, the part that I find really nice about that is we get to debrief about the day, mm-hmm. about the activity,
yes.
and kind of plot the next day. It creates this moment of reflection instead of mm-hmm. just turning on the TV or scrolling your phone that I think you may be more prone to do by yourself. So I can definitely see that. So, Lori, how do you determine the next destination? Do you get feedback from people? How do you craft the next experience?
Yeah, well, I'll say I can be a little bit selfish about it at times because I pick the destinations that I'm interested in going to. And then I put them forward and see who else is interested. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are interested in the same places. So Portugal was the first one. You know, I went there on my own, kind of mapped it out and thought, oh, I'll do more. Actually, that's not 100% true. Slovenia, which is the country of all four of my grandparents is the first place that I went and did a trip and thought, I have to bring more people here. It is so spectacular and beautiful. And so I did a group trip there. People are funny about Slovenia. It's not that well known. It has been on a number of, prominent top travel lists.
Yep.
Travel and Leisure, Condé Nast Traveler, and so forth. But still, people, there are a lot of people, if they haven't done a ton of travel, they're looking at, you know, the mainstays of France, Paris, Madrid, etc. And Portugal was exciting for a while, so that's how Portugal got on the list. And I've done a couple of group trips there. Then friend of mine, the one who kind of sparked me in the first place, said, "Oh, I want to go to Greece." I was never to Greece. It wasn't on the top of my list, but I thought, okay, you know, we'll put Greece together and see what that's like. So we did a trip to Greece last year. It was fabulous. It was, we went to Athens and then flew to one of the smaller islands and did the ferry and had a sailing cruise around the island where we were jumping off and swimming in the Mediterranean. It was wonderful. And Morocco came up in sort of an interesting way. A friend of mine actually was running that trip. She runs a business kind of similar to mine. Morocco is her primary destination. And I had heard about the trip and thought, oh, I would like to go and try that. Put it out to my women's travel group on Facebook. And several people wanted to go. And so we hopped on and went. Interestingly, for the Portugal trip, there was a woman. I promoted it in one of these larger international women's travel Facebook groups. And there was a woman from South Africa who joined the trip. She came to Portugal. She has a house in France. So she was on her way to France, joined us in Portugal. And then when I promoted the trip the following year to Costa Rica, she said, oh, I want to go and I'm going to bring my daughter. And on both of those trips now, we've talked about, because she invited us, she said, oh, you should come to South Africa because that's where she lives. And so we said, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. So right now I'm in the midst of planning a trip for next year that's going to be South Africa and Botswana, safari, and then, you know, Cape Town and the winelands there. So
that's awesome.
It's a mix. It's a mix in terms of how we identify the destinations, but that's a few examples.
Yeah,
that is awesome. Lori, I would like to offer you my services if you ever consider Turkey on the list, which I know there are some misconceptions about travel to Turkey, too. But I was born and raised in Turkey and cost or payment needed for my services and perspective. Would love to help with that if that were ever an interest. I think sort of the group polling is interesting. I mentioned one of my good friends that we have you as our guest today, and the theme of wellness, wine, and wonder, I think immediately speak to us. And she's just texting me saying, "Can Lori arrange a tennis trip for us that draws from the elements of wellness, wine, and wonder?" So Christine and I play tennis, you may know. Yeah. Christine plays at a whole different level than me, advanced level. I just want to put that out there. That's another, I think, point of interest when you talk about bringing people with similar interests together. We have a request on that, FYI.
Yeah.
Okay. My niece, who lives in Atlanta, is a tennis player and a big fan. She travels to the tennis events around the country, and she would love to be part of that, I'm sure. So
awesome.
It's funny, I will say this one thing, it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. there are some people that just are not going to mix well with others, and yeah. You know, we've all met them, right? It's not a bad thing, it's just people are unique. It's just it. And so I go through this in my screening process for people coming on the trips, and I'm listening for it and understanding how people like to travel and things along those lines. And, you know, I'm directly tell people, I'm not sure this trip is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And those that seem like they will be, you know, good travel partners in an environment or a group setting like that, I give them the reassurance and they join. So, and all of the trips have worked out wonderfully. So far, we have not had any issues with people not getting along or, you know, didn't like the experience or anything like that. So
another obstacle, I would love you to speak about this. And it sounds like from the way you organize your trips, this basically kind of comes out in the pre-selection and with your, the way you put trips together, but budget, right? When you're doing group mm-hmm. trips, and I was in the situation last year where we were trying to plan a Costa Rica trip, and I reached out to you and we started talking, and I had a big group and some people's budget was very different than others, right? I think it might just be easier just to see like what you have available, send the link out and say anybody coming, rather than trying to coordinate and get people to a common place. It's more like, here's the package, opt in.
Yeah.
you do all the legwork. That's such a like challenge, I think, for the everyday person to please and accommodate friends who want different things.
Yeah. I do all of these things. So mm-hmm. I have my women's trips, which by the way are primarily 6 or 7 women. Mm-hmm. It's not bigger than that. It's a intimate small group trip. We all fit in a small van. We can all sit around the table for dinner together. It's not a big group showing up at some generic hotel and generic restaurant. It is really it's a luxury experience at a moderate price for mm-hmm. almost all of the trips that I've run. And the ones I've done at international trips to the places I mentioned have been in the range of $3,800 to maybe $5,600, $5,700 mm-hmm. per person, with the latter being people who wanted their own room. They wanted mm-hmm. a single room. If they were sharing a room, it was on the lower end. And I try to keep it in that range. But I'm sorry, I lost what you teed up to me.
Yeah, I think it's just the, you know, you're getting the hassle of getting everyone on the same budget. And
you'll have to edit this.
But
what I've come to, I set up my trips there in that price range that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. But in my women's travel group and just in general, but you know, I'll hear feedback, that's not for me. I'm retired, I'm on a limited income, can't do a trip at that level. I have all sorts of offerings. I mean, I can put people on a low-end Carnival cruise. I am always watching for opportunities for people to join something that fits within their budget, even if it's not one of my trips. And I'm screening the trips that are out there so that I can offer that to people. You know, I went last year, I was invited to go on this Croatia small boat island hopping tour. So basically a yacht tour. Only 38 people go on it, and total of 19 cabins. I went by myself to see what it was like to be there as a single woman. And I have 3 people now that I didn't set up a trip to go there for mm-hmm. a group, but I have 3 people from my women's travel group who are going there now because I recommended it for them. They wanted to go on a trip. They would otherwise be traveling alone. Now 3 of them are matched up together going on this boat in the beginning of July. And other things along those lines where I had a lady that had a bucket list to go to Normandy with her husband before he passed away. And then he passed away and she couldn't go. Reached out to the travel group. No one wanted to go to Normandy. And so I was watching and watching and watching. And I finally saw a small group trip. It wasn't just women, but it was a small group trip. And on it were 3 or 4 single travelers like mm-hmm. her. And so I sent her the information. She looked it over and we set her up to go on that. She went by herself and joined the trip and was very, very happy with the experience. And I also, with this example that you mentioned for Costa Rica, if you had a group of friends that wanted to go to Costa Rica and had some budget limitations, I could bring you a proposal that would fit within everybody's budget limitation, mm-hmm. you know, budget dynamics, if you will.
Right.
And
right,
I do that regularly. So I do plan trips and I am booking travel for outside the women's travel for couples, families, honeymoons. Right now I'm doing a honeymoon to Southeast Asia, two of them to Portugal, which I know very well. And, you know, that's kind of my custom trips business in addition to the women's travel.
Very cool.
That was going to be my question, because I think Lori, go on some of these trips yourself personally, because the place could be of interest to you and you want to experience it and you want to shepherd personally the adventure. But there are also all these other dimensions to your business that you also offer. Are you thinking about any other expansion ways, meaning this is going to be corporate speak, training other leaders to go do these trips in a more guided way as like your deputy style, or is it you plus, or, you know, sending people on their own?
I think it's the latter right now. I've thought about it, right? There are women that go on my trips that there's one, in fact, who has experience in the travel industry, could plan a trip, host a trip, and she could be, I'll call it a delegate,
right,
or, you know, and an alternative partner that would host the trips. So I think I have the ability to do it. Right now, I'm just trying to manage the volume and kind of balancing the two aspects of the travel and then just travel, custom travel for anybody.
Nice. So if we think about the opportunity that travel is like a gift of reset and renewal, are there certain places that just speak to that theme more than others in your experience? Any locations that our listeners should put at the top of their list?
You know, I love all of these places. I have to go back and say that when I was working and doing my family and friends travel planning in my first few women's trips, I could go into a long weekend like Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend, especially Memorial Day, because it's not that hot. It's not that exciting of a time at home. I could go into that weekend and almost 24 hours around the clock be researching and planning a trip. Mm-hmm. It was so exciting to me that I could just do it almost without sleeping. And so I'm usually doing that ahead of the trips. So every trip that I go on is just this amazing experience for me, because I planned it in advance and I went to places that I felt were going to offer that wonderful experience and, you know, a sense of renewal and so forth. In Portugal, it's about the country and the people and the wine and the amazing coastline. Mm-hmm. In Morocco, it was more about the, you know, being out in the desert. We went like out into the deep desert and rode camels and stayed in a tented camp overnight and with the stars and the moon, you know, in the sky above. It's hard for me to pick one place. Personally, I love Slovenia. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's my ancestral connection there, but I find it to be just such a spectacular and amazing place with the diversity of the landscape in such a small country. You know, it's got the Julian Alps coming down in the north. It's got an amazing emerging wine region on the west that borders Italy, and mm-hmm. a fun capital city, all of those things. So I don't know if I have a favorite right now, because I just came back from Morocco. I'm stuck on Morocco. I'm researching everything. In fact, I'm going back in July in the middle of the, you know, summer season to the desert, because I want to go back and explore a little bit further the places that I saw just, you know, tidbits of when I first went there. But
yeah,
just amazing people, culture, experience, and it makes you appreciate what you have. Mm-hmm. So whatever your baggage is, you know, your drama that you're dealing with, you go on a trip like that and you can't help but feel like you're fortunate. And so that's how I think about it.
Yeah, just opens your mind to everything. Yep. Food, culture, different ways of thinking. Yeah, conversations you have, experiences that you can't have in your home, or you can't even, you know, connect, like, through watching a show or documentary about what it's like. You have to actually be in it and really experience it.
Our guide in Morocco, his family was a Bedouin nomad family. They lived in the desert. And then his grandparents got this property that's out. It's in a remote area down by the part of the Sahara that just is not that heavily touristed. And his grandparents got this property that is now a riad, you know, a small, like a bed and breakfast or what is a traditional Moroccan home. And we went and we stayed there and were hosted like we were, I don't know, friends of the family. It was just an amazing experience. And then he took us all around the country and basically gave us the history. I mean, we were baking bread in the sand out in the desert with no pan. The dough was just placed into the fire and covered with sand. And it came out at the end, no sand in the bread. You know, that's how they made food when they lived in the desert. It was fascinating. And again, it's like, wow. And this person speaks 3 or 4 different languages and runs this business. So
it's incredible.
That's incredible. I think, wow. Yeah, there is no other way to get that perspective other than experience. You know, you can't get it to have that impact from talking to people, watching documentaries. You just have to have the first person experience. So as we wind down, Christine, Lori, any closing points to inspire our audience to take the first step or the next step to go have a fantastic experience, whether it's a long weekend or a more extended adventure?
Well, I think Lori's mentioned a couple times the 50 plus Facebook group. So we'll get that out in our notes and also just link to it. I'm going to join the 50 plus Facebook group because I want to check some of these things out. Maybe you'll see Mugay and I on one of your future trips.
Yeah, that's what I am thinking.
Absolutely.
This is exactly why I do these podcasts with Christine, because it just sets up the next adventure, home or beyond. Yes, that's exactly right. We got to sign up for that. I already looked at your website, Lori. I think we go explore that some. I think we want to know what you have planned. We can sign up for consideration.
Yeah, I'll just go back to one of the things that we talked about at the beginning, people making the transition and how to do that. I mean, it's just taking the step. MEA is a fantastic resource. I would encourage anybody who is, you know, retiring, changing roles, thinking about what they're going to do next to look at their workshops and potentially join, because it really, really helped to push me, gave me the courage and the language to do this. And also, I mean, once you do it, it feels a little uncomfortable. I'm having the time of my life. I mean, I feel like I just graduated college and I could do whatever I want. I'm traveling and meeting new people, and I love them all. Expanding the community that I have, women around the world, and it's just fun and exciting. So I encourage people to go and do it.
Yeah, and pushing beyond those points where you feel uncomfortable. So, yeah. Lori, from your story and from knowing you a bit, it was clear to me that you're always making progress towards this. Like, steps, right? Things you're doing. And I do remember having a conversation with you about posting to LinkedIn and like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that was my old life and those are my old, you know, old connections, and realizing, well, those people want to travel too. They want to experience the world and be enriched, and just making that transition once you do it and continue to live in it. That's, I think, even, It just opens the door for even more success.
Yeah. I mean, leaving the corporate life and the security of that was challenging, right? So you get a little nervous about doing that. And then the identity change. Because I really, I mean, I was a marketing leader for many years at SAP, and left now to run this travel business where I'm planning people's travel experiences. Very, very different. It's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just wonderful.
No regrets. No regrets.
And now some of my former colleagues, alumni from SAP, whether they're retired or still working, are actually joining some of my trips, and we're reconnecting and having a fabulous time. So it's all good.
I love it.
I think you said the key words, Lori, having the time of your life, feeling like you just graduated from college, this sense of possibility is, this can very much be the most rewarding chapter yet. And that is completely inspirational. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you. It's great talking to you ladies today.
Yeah, you as well. So thank you, Lori. And we will also put a link to your website, which is wonderwelltravel.com, for folks to reach out and be connected. And we all sign up for that Facebook group today. I'm excited.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Until next time, everyone.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.